Texas, found himself on a train. The conductor called for tickets, but just as Holmes couldn't find the ticket and seemed terribly upset, he searched his pockets and fumbled through his wallet without success. The conductor was sympathetic. "Don't worry, Mr. Holmes. The Pennsylvania Railroad will be happy to trust you when you reach your destination. You'll probably find the tickets and you can mail it to us." The conductor's kindness did not put Holmes at ease. He said, "My dear man, my problem is not where is my ticket, but rather, where am I going?" Well, sometimes don't you feel that way in life? Don't you feel? And yet, in Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please God without faith. We're on a fantastic adventure in trusting Him. And God has a plan for our life. He has a purpose for our life. Let me tell you, He has not given up on you whether you're toothless or not. The Bible says He will shape us into what He wants us to be. This God who's alive, He'll shape us into what He wants us to be. Remember that little kid song, "He's still working on me"? He always is. It'll be the rest of our life until Jesus takes us home. Many times, I want Him to shape me into what seems best for me. How about you? But He knows what's best. He's the potter. I'm the clay. Remember, I can't get that mixed up. You see, God is constantly shaping my character, and many times it's the problems and the pain, and it doesn't always feel so good when God is shaping our character. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it's painful. It's uncomfortable. But God, as long as we are teachable and viable, and we come to Him and say, "God, I need you. God, I want you," He will continue to mold us and shape us on this fantastic adventure in trusting God. Now, we have a choice. We have a choice on this adventure. Do you know that? We really do. I believe this little boy had it right. Every evening, a mother and her young son knelt down beside his bed so he could say his prayers. One night, obviously bored with the same old prayer, the little boy earnestly prayed, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, can I have breakfast with you in the morning?" I believe that little boy had his priorities straight. But we have a choice. We can remain the same. God loves us no matter what. Jesus loves me. This I know. Soren Kierkegaard, the Danish theologian and philosopher, told this parable. Anybody duck hunters here? Duck hunters. The wild duck of Denmark. Be careful going hunting with Roger, though, okay? There are three ducks in our backyard dabbling in the mud and trying hard to get their share even more of the overflowing barnyard store. Satisfied with the task they're at of eating and sleeping and just getting fat, but whenever the free wild ducks fly by, they're long streaming across the sky. They cock a quizzical, puzzled eye and flap their wings and try to fly. "Oh, I think my soul is a tame old duck, dabbling around in the barnyard muck, fat and lazy with useless wings. Yet sometimes when the north wind sings and wild ones hurtle overhead, it remembers something lost and dead and cocks a lazy, bewildered eye and flaps its wings and tries to fly. Oh, it's content with the state it's in, but it's not the duck it might have been." I think a lot of us are like that. We just get into the routine of life, don't we? And we just get used to whatever quackery life brings us. Yet God lives inside of us. He's not dead. He's alive. And He wants us to soar no matter what is happening to us every day of our life. We're on a fantastic adventure in trusting Him. He wants us to live passionately. He wants us to love completely. He wants us to learn humbly. And then when it's our time to go, whether Jesus comes back and takes us or we go ourselves, we'll leave boldly. And Jesus will welcome us home. What have we got? Can you imagine today if someone here would invent a pill that cured cancer? Wouldn't that be incredible? Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be wonderful if that could happen? And yet, what has God given us? He's given us the cure for death. He's given us salvation now and forever and ever. That's what He's given us. And that's why He wants us to share it with each other. That's why He wants us to reach out. That's why you're involved. He wants us to be a hero. Yes, we can be a hero. What will be the center of my life? And what will be the character of my life? You know, what am I going to leave behind as a legacy? God, you realize, this is something that somebody told me the other day, and I just didn't believe it, especially missing a tooth. Do you realize God wants us to be a masterpiece? He's created us to be a masterpiece. And what He doesn't create a masterpiece so that we can look at it and admire it. He creates useful pottery for a purpose. Part of the contribution that God has for each of us is our uniqueness. There's no one else in the world like us, like you, like me. Never has been, never will be. Now you might say, thank you, God, for that. But you're not one in a million. You're one in 6 billion. There's no one else in the world that has your fingerprints. No one else in the world that has your voice print, your footprint. There's no one else in the world like you. And if you don't be you, the world's going to miss out. Your world's going to miss out. It's you that God wants for you to give back to the world. It's your uniqueness. He wants you to give your gifts and your talents and your resources and your time. That's what He wants to do. You're a masterpiece. Turn to somebody else and say, you're God's masterpiece. You're God's masterpiece. And we have such a short time. Short. Now, we may feel like, oh boy, Timmy had been misbehaving in children's church. Not that that would happen here. And was isolated from the other children for a time out. After a while, he emerged and informed his teacher that he had thought it over and then prayed about it. Fine. If you ask God to help you not misbehave, He will help you. Oh, I didn't ask Him that, said Tommy. I asked Him to help you put up with me. Well, I think sometimes that's the way we feel, isn't it? It is the way. Two men stood at a graveside of a highly successful, wealthy businessman. One man whispered, he was loaded. I wonder how much he left behind. The other man whispered, all of it. He left it all behind. Kenny Chesney has a great song. Any Kenny Chesney fans here? It's Don't Blink, Don't Blink. Anybody remember that song? Here's a few of them. I'm not going to sing it. I turned on the evening news, saw an old man being interviewed. Turning 102 today, ask him what's the secret to life. He looked up from his old pipe and laughed and said, all I can say is, don't blink. Just like that, you're 6 years old and you take a nap and you wake up and you're 25 and your high school sweetheart becomes your wife. Don't blink. You just might miss your babies growing like mine, turning into moms and dads. Next thing you know, your better half of 50 years is there in bed. And you're praying God takes you instead. Trust me, friend, 100 years goes faster than you think. So don't blink. So I was glued to my TV when it looked like he looked at me and said, better start putting first things first, because when your hourglass runs out of sand, because you can't flip it over and start again, take every breath God gives you for what it's worth. So I've been trying to slow it down. I've been trying to take it in this here today, gone tomorrow world we're living in. Nah, don't blink, don't blink. Life goes faster than you think. Don't blink. Isn't that the truth, huh? Now, where does it start? I read about an old minister who once asked, what does it take to have a revival, by a young minister? The old man said something like this. Do you have a place to pray? The young man said, of course. The older man said, go to that place of prayer with a piece of chalk, kneel in that place of prayer, draw a circle around yourself, and start praying fervently that God will change everything within that circle. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and a new steadfast spirit within me. Let me tell you, you never know what God's going to do. You never know how He's going to work. I'm sure you're like me. We've all got loved ones we've been praying for to accept Jesus, haven't you? Bill Hybel tells about an interesting experience after a baptism in their church. He writes, I bumped into a woman in the stairwell who was crying. I thought this was a little odd since the service was so joyful. I asked her if she was all right, and she said, no, I'm struggling. My mom was baptized today, and I prayed for her every day for almost 20 years. The reason I'm crying is because I came this close to giving up on her. At the 5-year mark, I said, who needs this? God isn't listening. At the 10-year mark, I said, why am I wasting my breath? At the 12-year mark, I said, this is absurd. At the 19-year mark, I said, I'm just a fool. But I just kept praying. Even with a weak faith, I kept praying. Then she gave her life to Christ, and she was baptized today, and I will never doubt the power of prayer again. Sometimes when we pray, we feel like God is not listening, and we stop praying. We stop believing that God cares and that he will act. We must trust that God does care and that God will answer our prayers according to what is best for his will. So don't give up. Continue, Christians, to live passionately, to love completely, to learn humbly. And then when it's our time to go, to leave boldly. Now, a lot of times, we can just float by. Now, I'm going to go to the dentist this week. And one thing I love about going to the dentist is not all the other stuff. I love to get the gas. I would go to the dentist just to get the gas. I guess that's why people take drugs. I mean, it's euphoric. It's just, whoa, I love it. And my insurance doesn't cover it, so Marcia doesn't know that I pay for it separately. But you know, we can pursue the things that we think will make us happy because that gas ends after a while, okay? Romans 8:6-8. Obsession with self in these matters is a dead end. Attention to God leads us into a spacious, free life. Focusing on the self is the opposite of focusing on God. Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God, ends up thinking more about self than God. That person ignores who God is and what he is doing, and God isn't pleased at being ignored. Ecclesiastes 2:1. I said to myself, let's go for an experiment with pleasure. Have a good time. But there was nothing to it, nothing but smoke. What do I think of the fun-filled life? Inane, inane, my verdict on the pursuit of happiness. Who needs it? You see, we can pursue the things that that we think will make us happy. And we will temporarily. Sin will give us temporary pleasure. But what will be the legacy of our life? To live passionately, to love completely, to learn humbly, and to leave boldly. In 1984, Sarah Comstock was a 43-year-old woman living in Biloxi, Mississippi. She had a good job, a family, but she felt she had no purpose in life and decided to jump from the wharf to commit suicide. A 24-year-old man, only known as Phil, saw her jump into the water, forgetting that he didn't know how to swim. He jumped in to save her. Of course, he immediately began to sink. Something happened in the twinkling of an eye. Sarah forgot her own problems, saved her savior, and pulled him safely to shore. She told reporters in that moment, her life had purpose. She had something to live for. In saving someone else, she saved herself. Have you ever experienced a moment of knowing a purpose bigger or beyond yourself? That's what we're a part of, Christian friends. We have a mission. We have a mission. We are to carry out the mission and the vision of Christ. We exist to help others. Not just my mission, not just the elders or the deacons or Matt's. It's all of our vision. We're all to be a hero. It's not easy. Things are going to happen, but God will continue to shape us to live passionately, to love completely, to learn humbly, And then when it's our turn to leave boldly. A Christian church pastor named John Greenlee died of cancer shortly after he woke. He wrote this article to his congregation. I imagine it was pretty powerful. It speaks of priorities. I believe in the end that I would rather have given it all away and have been counted a fool to have played it cozy, careful, cautious, and missed the reckless joy of living. I believe that in the end I would rather have given it all away and have been counted a fool and have been trusted and been betrayed and have loved and been hurt than to have withdrawn or held back for fear of being wounded, denying myself and those around me the sheer joy of loving and trusting. I believe that I would have rather spent my life proclaiming a gospel that relatively few people ever took seriously than to have filled my years with a profession which benefited no one else but myself and my banker. I believe that I would rather have had magnificent dreams, even if only a few ever really came true, and to have lived in a careful, secure, realistic, dead world with its drudgery of playing it safe where people never fail because they never dream impossible dreams. I believe that I was not called to be cautious, but to take risk. Not to be careful, but to be caring. To give and not worry myself about the return. To walk by faith and not by sight. God wants us to seek His purpose for our life. And in that respect, we will find fulfillment. But the choice is ours. The choice really is ours. And I think every day we have to decide. An old Cherokee chief was teaching his grandson about life. A fight is going on inside me, said the boys. It's a terrible fight, and it's between two wolves. One is evil. He's anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferior, lies, false pride, superiority, self-doubt, and ego. The other is good. He's joy and peace and love and hope and serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, faith. The same fight is going inside of you and inside of every person too. And the grandson thought about it for a minute and then asked his grandfather, which wolf will win? The old chief simply replied, the one you feed. The one you feed. What is the priority of our life? What is the priority of our life today? Huh? What is it? That's really between us and God. Astoria Christian Church, I read your website, and boy, what a wonderful ministry you've got in Matt. What a loving group you are. I knew today you wouldn't care whether I was toothless or not. Even I'm the one who's embarrassed about it. But see God every day when we wake up. We may need a reminder. We may need one of those little toy soldiers to remind us. Every day when we wake up, I pray we'll say, God, I'm starting again on this fantastic adventure in trusting you. I don't know what the day's going to bring, but today I'm going to live passionately and prayerfully. I'm going to love completely, no matter what. I'm going to learn humbly as God shapes me. And then, if Jesus comes back, wow! If not, when I take my last breath, I'm going to leave boldly into the arms of Jesus. What will we do? The choice is ours. We're going to sing our decision hymn today. And as we sing the decision hymn today, I pray that we'll be like this little boy who was in an Easter play with a part for everyone. Because that's what God has. The little boy, instead of, he insisted that he wanted to be the rock in front of the tomb. The teacher said, surely don't you want a speaking part? Absolutely not. Play went well. They asked the boy why he wanted to play the rock. He beamed with a smile. Oh, it felt so good to let Jesus out of the tomb. That's what we are to do. Jesus is out. He's in us. And you know what it all boils down to? We're just one beggar telling another beggar where to find food. That's what it is. We're going to sing our decision hymn today. And if you have a decision to make, maybe you just need to get back on this journey. Maybe you need to come and give Jesus your life and be baptized. Really, God's working on us. He's still working on us. Priorities. Let's pray.